Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Praise God. I just said to Pastor JJ, he's like a big kid. Some people never grow up. Hands up. Anyone else? Unless you become childlike. It's good to mature, but it's not good to grow up beyond a childlike faith. Let's not equate, I've got this, with maturity. I think a greater maturity is I don't got this. I need you for everything. In Acts it says, in you I live and move and have my being. I think Father's restoring dependency to the body of Christ. If we can do it without God, then it's probably not from God and of God. This talk of people, I'm a self-made man. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. What does it profit? That's profit as in P-R-O-F-I-T, not the other profit. What does it profit someone if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? I'm always drawn to the start of the Bible. And can I just say that the start of the Bible is not creation? You might say, yeah, it is Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. We are introduced into God's eternal story at the time of creation, but God preceded creation. It wasn't in the beginning creation. It was in the beginning God. And let me tell you what he's doing right now. You're coming into his story. Right now he's creating. He existed forever and ever before that. And in our lives, my prayer is that we come back even now. God, we need you. We need you. We need you. It's the right place to be. God, we need you. Father, I just pray right now in this place that you open our eyes to how much we need you. That our strength is connected to our dependency, not our ability. Our strength is connected to our dependency, not our ability. And so, Father, we thank you that you're here, that you love us. And Lord, I just pray that every person will encounter you deeply today. And we ask that by the Spirit of God that you'll speak what's on your heart. May we listen and hear what's on your heart. Father, we ask this. We ask that you speak by your Spirit. Equip us today. Don't tickle our ears. But God, enrich our lives. Equip us. In Jesus' name. So speak, we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen, amen, amen. Thanks, brother. You may be seated. Good morning, church. Thanks, bro. Hallelujah. It's such a privilege to be back with you, to be part of the Pneuma family. And it's great getting to know your pastors, the naughty one and the good one. I'm honored and blessed to be able to walk with Father and just hear his heart for the church, and every service looks different. I don't have an agenda apart from one thing, and that is to keep in step with the Spirit. And I want to encourage you, even in your day, make your greatest priority keeping in step with the Spirit, not finishing your to-do list, your task list. You can finish every job and not glorify God. You can not get past point two and glorify God. And the purpose of our lives is to bring glory to God. That's why we exist, to bring glory to God. And I've got a very clear assignment, two assignments from the Lord today. Number one, to preach a word that will equip us, and I'm going to do that. And then number two is to declare a shift over the lives of people with long-standing illness and physical conditions. So I'm letting you know right now, if you've got a long-standing illness, you've got a physical condition that you've had for a while, and you don't want it. If you want it, you keep it. But if you don't want it, then we're going to invite you to the front at the end, and we're going to believe that Father's going to shift it. And I know He's going to do something, because it's not an idea I came up with. It's, I saw it in the realm of the Spirit. I saw what the Father was doing. And so we're just going to partner with Him. Amen. Amen. I want to get into this word, but in worship, I just heard the Lord say, I want you to start by just telling people how much I care. It's like, we know that, right? That's so foundational. But again, there's certain things we shouldn't move past, we shouldn't mature from. God cares. God cares. But I heard Him say, some in this room are struggling to believe that God cares because God is not caring for them in the way that they think God should care for them. And I just want to encourage you today. Have you ever had someone in a time of need and you've had someone care for you and they care for you deeply? They might not say all the words that resolve everything in your life, but they're just there. It's not about resolving. It's not about fixing everything. It's about being present. And our God is called Emmanuel, God with us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I know this is so simple, and this is not what I'm speaking on, but the Lord said to someone in this room today that needs to know that God cares, but don't draw the conclusion He doesn't, because He hasn't done what you want Him to do. He's there. He's there. In the fiery furnace, He's there. In the lion's den, He's there. He's there even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God is there. Oh, I pray that every one of us come into a deeper revelation of the very presentness of God. We talk a lot about the presence of God. Can I tell you that the presence of God is not something from God? It is the presentness of God. It's God being with us. What a glorious thing. Isn't it good? Isn't it good that if you're in your bedroom at night and it's dark and the enemy's coming against you, that God is as much there as He has ever been anywhere? God is not a God of measures that divides Himself and He's more here and less here, because that would limit who God is. And our God is limitless. And so we sing a song and there's a line that says, let us become more aware of Your presence. Does anyone know that song? Holy Spirit, You're welcome here. Let us become more aware. That's a great line. It's not, God, would You come and be here? God, let us become more aware. God, David wrote this in Psalm 139, just repeatedly, where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I go from Your presence? If I go to the far side of the sea, You're there. If I go to the heights, You're there. If I go to the depths, You're there. Wherever I go, there You are. Later on, he says, when I awake, You're still with me. I picture this, you know, parents, you're asleep in bed and you open your eyes at night and your kids, that's a freak out sort of, oh, you're right there, right in front of me. But there's a, take the beautiful side of that, not the scariest side of that. And we open our eyes and God, You're right there. When I'm dreaming, God, You're there. When I'm worrying, You're there. When I'm sinning, You're there. When I'm repenting, You're there. When I'm flying high, You're there. And when I'm limping and stumbling over my own feet, You're there. Come on. God's there. God's there and He cares and He's nicer than we can ever imagine. And I pray that you encounter the Father's heart today. I pray when you go home this afternoon that you encounter the heart of the Father who cares for you, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You ready for the word? You all got to remind me before we pray for people to mention this, okay? So that's all of your jobs because I'm going to forget otherwise, Pastor JJ. Praise the Lord. When Pastor JJ asked me to speak, I'm really strong on the fact that God has called us to kingdom assignments and not just invitations. And so I asked Father if this is what he wants, and he just started to download. And this word is burning in my heart. It's deeper than I can articulate. So I'm asking that you'll receive it spirit to spirit. Will you do that? Yeah. Is there anyone here with an open heart and an open spirit to the Lord today? Because he who has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying, not what the person is saying, but what the Spirit is saying. And I've got a word I want to dive straight into today, and I want to call about the call to represent God. The call to represent God. This is a prophetic, you're in a month of talking about all things prophetic, but the Holy Ghost said this so clearly. I want you to talk about the call to represent God. And I can find myself like you going, what's that got to do with the prophetic? And the Lord said, that's actually the whole essence of the prophetic, that we represent God. And he spoke to me about representing God and re-presenting God. So you ready to jump in? Wonderful. The word represent literally means be entitled or appointed to act or to speak for someone, especially in an official capacity. Appointed and entitled to actually act or speak on behalf of someone else. People represent different countries. People go if you send someone to represent you, all that they say and do reflects on you. And this is the word represent. And that's the very essence of the prophetic, that we are called to represent God. We are called to act and to speak on behalf of God. You might say, I'm not prophetic. If you're saved, you're prophetic. You just might not know it, because it's just making known the heart and mind, the will and intention of God. No one has been saved in order just to be safe. We're actually being enlisted into playing the same part and the same role on this earth right now as the Lord Jesus Christ did when he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to reconnect people to the Father, and representing God means that we act and speak in a way that people are connected to the Father. And there's a holy call on our life. The word prophetic itself means to speak by divine inspiration. And that means that we're not speaking from our own place and from our own thoughts, but we're actually speaking on behalf of God. And that's what the word represent means. But then the Lord started to take me deeper, and he talked about represent. The prefix re means it means again and again. It denotes repetition. It's not something that happens once. And in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but rather be what? Transformed by the renewing. Not the removal, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not the removal of your mind. Come on. Some people say that as Christians, you got to just almost remove your mind. It's all about feelings. Why does it say love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind? It's time to reclaim the mind, not remove the mind. It's time to actually start to think again, but to think from a kingdom perspective. God says there's some people in this room that are intellectual, and it's almost like you've been shut down because you need to feel more. Maybe God just wants to reclaim the mind, for the original intention is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's sometimes what happens is our mind is the very thing that keeps us from loving God, but it's the very gift given to love God. Yes. Lean into your wiring, but lean into your wiring in a way that connects you deeper with God. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Lord started to speak to me right there, the prefix re before new is to make new again and again and again and again. How many people know that you can know a verse and you can quote a verse once, but that sometimes doesn't change a situation or change your thinking or change your feelings? Sometimes it's about, man, I've got to be meditating on the word day and night. I've got to be quoting. I've got to not let this law depart from my mouth. I've got to meditate on it. I got to speak it out again and again and again and again and again. Once is not enough. You're saved once, but man, there's this washing of the water by the word of God. That's the prefix re. It's again and again. Re present. When you present someone, it means you place someone before others. I present to you, and you present someone and they walk out. You're presenting, you're placing someone before someone else. Are you with me? I present to you and they come out. So represent is to present before again and again and again. And we are called to represent God. We are called to act and to speak on behalf of God in a way that people encounter God. And part of that is we got to represent Him. We got to place God before people again and again and again and again. Not shoving them down their faces, but remember, represent is to act or to speak. Our lives have got to present God to people and people to God. And it's going to happen again. Some of us in our workplaces, we are sent there to represent God to those that don't know Him. Again and again, I'm placing God before you. Come on, the way I respond to that person who's annoying, I literally am representing God. I am placing God because I am kind and I am patient, unlike the ones that are attacking them. I'm a reflection of God by representing and representing God. And this is the essence of the prophetic. The prophetic is placing God before people again and again and again. It's placing God's desires before people, God's intention before people again and again and again. Oh, it doesn't take a prophetic person to see the problems, but it takes a prophetic person to see what God is doing in someone's life when it's hidden behind all the facades and all the anger and all the bravado. God says, will you see in the spirit and not just in the natural eyes? Let's not perpetuate the problem by talking on natural lines. There is a spiritual line to enter into. God, I want to see how you see that person. I'm not sure any of us, I know I wouldn't have picked a terrorist called Saul who was persecuting the church and scattering the church and killing Christians. I wouldn't have picked him to be the great apostle Paul who wrote most of the New Testament, who I love feeding on and learning from. But someone said, I'm going to look through the eyes of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. You're coming into a season of consecration. Let's just go. Fasting and praying. Well, good does that do? We often trace the conversion of Saul into the Apostle Paul. We trace it back to the road of Damascus, right? Where Jesus was, that's where it all started, right? Church, are you alive? Yeah? That's what we trace it back to. We trace it back to the road to Damascus when Jesus revealed. And the Lord showed me that's not where it started. It started two chapters before that, when they are stoning Stephen to death and they're laying their cloaks at one called Saul of Tarsus. And a man who is literally being killed for his faith is praying, not God, get me out of this, not God, reduce my pain, but Lord, would you not hold the sin against them? Would you show them your mercy and your grace? And there's a man losing his life, Kurabashakara, and he's praying for the ones who are hurting him and killing him. And due to his prayer, it released the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal himself on the road to Damascus, because God doesn't move except in answer to prayer. You want to know the difference of your prayers is possibly a Saul into a Paul. Praise the name of the Lord. And God is looking for a people, a church that represent Him well and represent Him often. The heart of God, the heart of God, the heart of God. We live in a culture that drifts. That's what the Lord said to me. We drift. You drift. I drift. How many people ever drift? Yeah. How many people drift in your view of God? And how many people drift in what you feel called or anointed or appointed? You drift in your faith. We all drift. And there's a need for us to place God before ourselves again and again. But there is also a need to place God before others again and again. And interestingly, in the Old Testament, what did the prophets in the Old Testament do to the children of Israel who were God's chosen people? What did they do? They kept on drifting, didn't they? They'd seen the miracles. They'd seen the... I saw one of those miracles, I'd be pretty impressed. Anybody else? Come on, we read the stories and gloss over it. The Red Sea parting. Come on, church, can we step into it? Oh my gosh, if I saw that, I'd be red hot for the rest of my life. Now, let's fast forward a chapter. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die? It was better in Egypt. Are you for real? You're in bondage and slavery for hundreds of years. Come on. The God supplies food every day. Their clothes for 40 years didn't wear out in their sandals. Come on, ladies, come on. Come on. No need to go to the shops, Nehemiah. This is God just says, wow, supernatural. Supernatural. And God goes, but here's, I know the propensity. I know the propensity of mankind. You drift back towards a warped view. A wrong view. They did that from the very beginning. God is a perfect, loving God in the garden. He gives all this good stuff and goes, don't eat of this one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What does mankind do? Let's drift towards the one thing he says don't do. We drift and we question the voice of God. It's all about question. The first sin was not eating fruit. It was not listening to the voice of God. The most important thing in your life is not whether you do this or whether you don't do this, is am I listening to and obeying the voice of God? I'm going off track. Are we good? I just feel like in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, the Lord God said to the man and woman, you are free to eat from any tree, but don't eat of the one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you do, you will die. The devil in Genesis 3, 1 says, did God really say that? Come on. He hasn't changed the way he operates in our life to this day. How many people hear a word from God and your starting point is, was that God? Did I hear from God? The devil starts with question. God is a God of statement. The question is based on fear of what if I get it wrong. The statement is of faith. Well, I know that I know the voice of my God. God, when they listened to that voice and they acted on that voice of the serpent, they ate, their eyes were open, they tried to hide from God. God came looking for them. And his first question was not, why did you eat the fruit? It was his second. The first question, Genesis 3:11, is, who told you you were naked? He addressed the root issue. It wasn't fruit, it was voice. It was the authorship of the voice. Right now, the problem is not that you ate fruit and you're naked. It's that I told you one thing, someone else told you another thing, and you chose to do what the other person said. Can I tell you in our lives that our security is not in understanding everything. It's knowing and obeying the voice of God. That's not legalism. That is freedom. That is freedom. He said, don't eat of it, you will die. What was he trying to do? Make it bad people good? No, they were perfect. He was trying to keep free people free. Everything God has ever declared in his word is to keep free people free. Don't lie. Why? Because you want to control me, God. You want to make me good. No, I want you to keep you free from broken relationships. Come on. Don't lust. Well, you want to make me all good and perfect. No. I want to keep you free from condemnation, shame, and disappointment. Come on, don't commit adultery. Why, it's all about being good. No. I want to protect your marriage relationship, and I don't want anything to separate it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Oh, it's all about perfection. No, it's about intimate relationship, and you are free, so I want to keep you free. So when I speak, how about we trust the heart of the Father that is there to prevent, not to control. Praise the name of the Lord. Hey! Representing God, representing God, representing, acting and speaking on behalf of God. Do you realize the significance of your life? Do you realize the significance of your life? Called to act and speak on behalf of God. Do you understand the significance of your life, that you're called to place God before people and His desires and His intentions before people again and again and again? The Lord's just speaking to me right now. We've got to get this again and again. But I've done that, God. I've done that, Steve, and it didn't work out. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are those who will remain in faith. Come on, some of the men and women of faith in Hebrews 11, it says that they lived in faith and they died in faith still believing. My question is not have you believed for a while, but will you, when you die, will you still be in faith? I bet Naaman's glad that he didn't stop on dip 5 or 6, that he dipped 7 times. If you don't know the story, a man with leprosy in the Old Testament, a prophet said, go and dip in the river 7 times and you'll be healed. And he goes, that's just crazy. But when he was encouraged to do it, he went and did it. Dip 1, nothing. Dip 2, nothing. Dip 3, nothing. If he had stopped on dip 6, he wouldn't have been healed. The children of Israel marched around 6 days and then go, man, we're tired. We're not going to do the 7th day. There's something about going until completion. When's completion? When God says. When God says. I believe in God, everything has a tipping point. And sometimes we stop just short of the tipping point. I prayed for 30 years and I've stopped. Who knows that the miracle wasn't a sign for year 31? Let's go again. If we're going to represent and represent God, let me quickly, I'm just going to give you an abbreviated version and we're going to pray. I want to give you 3 imperatives of representing and representing God accurately. Are you ready, church? Yes. The first one is this. If we are going to represent and represent, then accuracy is imperative. Accuracy is imperative. And a lot of things, close enough is good enough, right? Not when it comes to hearing from God and passing it on. Not when it comes to living a life that reflects God, close enough is not good enough. We go, that's impossible. Yeah, well, the Apostle Paul acknowledged this and he said, I'm not there yet, but one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to forget what's behind. I'm going to reach on to take hold of all that he's taken hold. And along the way, I'm going to say, come on, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to set an example so that you can actually, if you walk with me, you will end up closer to God. I just feel to say to some people in this room, shift your definition and perspective of the success of your day. It's not what I got done. It's not what I got accomplished. It's did I place God before people, and people that encountered me encountered God through me. There's a scripture that says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you. Always be ready to give a what? Answer. Say it again. Always be ready to give a what?
Answer.
When do you give an answer? When you have a question. So if we are always ready to give an answer for the hope that's in us, it means someone's asking us a question, what's different about you? You don't give the answer if there's no question. Can I challenge us? I just feel like, JJ, we're shifting it into a bit of family time right now. Is that cool? I'm the crazy uncle that will go away for another year or so and you'll all have a time to recover. But I want us to lean into this that, thank you, Father. What was it you're saying? Just before that. There you go. Shift the question. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Always be ready to give an answer. If my life never requires a question of what's different, am I truly following God? If I'm in that tough situation and there's never an answer of how are you right now when everyone else is stressed, how are you not stressed? They're talking about redundancy and you aren't freaking out and we're all freaking out. Why are you not freaking out? What's that? That's an opportunity to give an answer for the hope that's within you. I wonder if we can be invited into this deeper representation. And accuracy is imperative. The word accurate means exact. It means correct in all details. While that's an impossible standard, I just want to show you what it says in John 14, verse 8 and 9. Philip is saying to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? And in Hebrews 1:3, it says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and he is the exact." Everyone say exact. He is the exact representation of his being. Jesus wasn't just slightly like the Father. He was like the Father to the degree when people are saying, "We want to see the Father." He goes, "Look at me and you'll know what the Father's like." Can people say that about you? Can people say that about me? What is God like? Paul, again, he just set an example for the believers in speech, life, love, faith, purity. Whatever you've learned from me, received from me, whatever you've seen in me or heard from me, you can put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. What incredible, incredible weight of responsibility. I don't want to place something on you that breaks you down, leads you into condemnation. Can we lift ourselves up to actually the divine calling on our lives, to act and speak on behalf of God, and to place God before people again and again and again? It was in 2006, I was a pastor at the time, been a pastor for a number of years, and my dad, David McCracken, at 4 o'clock on a Thursday in August 2006, I sat down and he says, "You're my natural son, but you're called to be my spiritual son. And you're called to be my Elisha, and I'm calling you to be a prophet to the nations. And today's the day to pick up the mantle." And I knew it was God, so I did. And 4 days later on Monday, I started with him. And 18 years ago, I'm still part of David McCracken Ministries. But within a very short period of time, when I stepped out, I heard the Lord speak to me so clearly, and I want to bring this before us today, and this whole thing about being accurate, actually representing God as he is. The Lord said to me, "Steve, I don't want you to speak my word if you can't reveal my heart. If you can't reflect my heart, don't speak my word." And it was such a powerful thing that all the days of my life, and even now when I'm communicating, I don't want you to hear some information. I want to reflect the heart of the Father to you. When we're at work, when you're in your family and you're trying to get your point across and they're not listening, is your focus on getting the point across? Is it on them listening and hearing you, or is it on them encountering God? I wonder if our focus is on winning arguments more than it is on reflecting God. There's a holy call on our lives to be signposts that point people to the Lord. Accuracy is essential. Jesus was an accurate representation of God, and we're called to be. The second thing is authenticity is imperative. Authentic is genuine. It's of undisputed origin. It's not being a copy. It's the real deal, the genuine deal. And Jesus' accuracy was due to his authenticity because Jesus came from heaven to earth. His origin was heaven. And I want you to hear the word of the Lord. Prophecy's accuracy is due to its authenticity. It comes from heaven to earth. These are days where God is restoring the purity in the prophetic. There's too much stuff going on that is not an accurate reflection of God. I want to get to that in a moment, but can I just say what prophecy is not? Prophecy is not my opinions. It's not my feelings. It's not my thoughts. It's not my good ideas. Here's an important one. Prophecy is not a corrective measure I use for those that I am ticked off with. It's not a weapon of manipulation to try and get someone, even that we deeply care for, that's stuck. Sometimes we can answer, God is saying this when we are saying this. If it's not from heaven to earth, then it's not prophetic. It's got to be authentic. It's about the origin of it. And it's got to come. And God is restoring purity in the prophetic in the church of Jesus Christ today. God is restoring purity. What is purity? Purity, being pure, means free from contamination. No mixture, nothing added, nothing taken away. And the Lord has been really honing this and just pushing this in me. Even when I go to minister, Steve, is what is coming out of your mouth, is it 100% me? Because if it's mixture, if it's me and a bit of you, then it's impure. Come on. 24 karat gold is 24 parts to 24 parts. Gold is pure gold, nothing else. You can get 18 karat gold. It still looks great. It still functions well. But it's 18 parts gold and 6 parts, something else added to it to make it cheaper and more accessible to more people. We've got to stop adding our part to the prophetic to make it more accessible to more people, where it's applauded more and it's celebrated more. And people look at you, wow. They prophesied this and they prophesied that and this amount of years and you're going to go here. It's like bigger is better. No, sometimes bigger is more carnal. Sometimes bigger is more of me and less of God. Sometimes the prophetic word has come back to the ways of, oh, I don't want to hear that. Prophesy, I'm going to do this, this, and this. We got to come back to the purity in the prophetic. If it's not from God, then it's not prophetic. And if it's 95% from God and then I add my 5%, it's not pure. We got to come back. What people need is what God knows people need. Can I encourage us today to be so intimate with God, we know when God's speaking. And then like a mailman, we receive the mail and we pass it on in a pure way. We don't open the letter and start to write on it and change some of the content. We don't go, maybe they don't know what that means, and we interpret it. An interpretation is only an interpretation if it's from God. It's not what I think it will be. Come on, they even came to Daniel. I heard you can interpret dreams. Well, you heard wrong. Only God can interpret dreams. We're here now. I heard you can interpret dreams. Yeah, I can interpret dreams. No, only God can interpret dreams. I heard that you can speak just, it's got to be from God. It's got to have accuracy. It's got to have authenticity. And the last thing here, I wonder if we can get the worship team to come back up. Don't switch off. Don't switch out. Stay leaning in. God's about to move in a powerful way. Authority is imperative. I want us to hear this. I want us to hear this. I feel like the Lord's saying this is really important right now. Authority is not. See, some people have authority. Their focus is, I just want authority. Listen to me. Listen to me. In the body of Christ, I just want authority. In other words, I want to be able to tell people what to do. I want to be the boss. I want to lead it because I know how it should look. That's not the authority that the Lord wants to get our attention on right now today. When it comes to representing God, acting and speaking on behalf of God, and representing God, placing God before people again and again, it needs to be accurate, right? Exact. It's got to be an accurate reflection, but it's also got to be authentic. That is its origin. It's got to come from heaven to earth. But it also has to be an authority. And the authority that God's talking about is the right to act in a specified way because it's been delegated from one person to another. Are you with me? It's very, very different to, I've got the authority, you do what I say. No. This is, if someone speaks, you go, well, oh, who gave you that authority? Well, actually, the pastor sent me, or your mum or dad sent me, and they asked me to tell you this. How many people know a little kid could come up to someone and say, hey, you're wanted out there, and you think, who's this little kid? Well, why do I need out there? Oh, Pastor JJ said, could you come out here? Oh, okay, you're speaking on behalf of JJ. Therefore, you're just a kid, but what you're saying carries the weight of Pastor JJ. Whose authority do you speak on, Pastor JJ? Whose authority do you speak on? On behalf of God. I want to lean in for a moment just on this. Authority, spiritual authority comes from God. Would you say it with me? Spiritual authority comes from God. It's the right, to act in a specified way because it's been delegated. What we're about to do, praying for long-standing illness and people with long-standing physical conditions, and there's going to be a shift. I know it's going to happen, not because I've come up with an idea to do that. I saw it in the realm of the Spirit. Therefore, I have the right to speak on this because it was delegated from my Father in heaven about what He wanted to do in your life today. I don't need to come up with a good idea. I just got to see what the Father is doing. And my authority comes from Him. I want to remind you about the life of Jesus. He is the Son of God. How many people know that? That carries a lot of authority. Are you with me? Stay with me just for a few more minutes here before we pray. Matthew 28 verse 18. Before the Great Commission, therefore go into all the world, we hear, and the Lord Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. How many people know that verse? We focus on the fact that Jesus has all authority, but that's not what the verse says. It's not that it started from Him. I've got all authority in Luke 10, 19. Now I give you authority. How many people know that you've got authority over the enemy's power? Come on, church, lean in with me. James 4, 7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil. He's got to flee from you. Why? I can't do anything. No. But Jesus says, I've given you the authority. What's that? That's the authority. That's the delegate. He's given it, so we've got it. Are you with me? But Jesus Himself, the eternal Word, Son of God, says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Even Jesus had to be given the authority. Well, John chapter 14, verse 10. John says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? And the words that I am saying to you right now, I do not speak on my own authority. This is Jesus. We got to never think, I can do this. I can shift it. I can heal them. I can preach. I can save them. No. Even Jesus said, the things that are coming out of my mouth as the eternal Word, the Son of God, it's not because I'm wonderful by myself. I'm here. I've been sent by my Father, and I am acting and speaking on behalf of my Father in heaven, and I am placing Him before people every day, every miracle, every sign. It was a sign to point people to the Father. Jesus didn't come to start a religion about Himself. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except you come through me. Can I encourage you, don't stop at Jesus. Come with Jesus to the Father. The words I'm saying to you right now, I'm not speaking on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father that is living in me who is doing His work. Well, you got to know what it is to be under the authority of heaven. The person that Jesus says, I've never seen such great faith in all of Israel. Who was it to? The centurion man who said, I'm a man under authority. I know what it is to have authority, and I know what it is to be under authority. I've never seen such great faith. The key to our faith is not how good we are, but how much we are under the authority of the Father in heaven and how much we live sent by God. But the last thing I want to draw attention to, and then we're just going to let Father do what He has prepared and planned to do. The words I say to you, get this, lean in. The words I say to you, prophetic people, lean in right now. The words I say to you, I don't speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father. What are we talking about? The words that God's speaking. The words that Jesus is speaking. Rather, the words that I'm speaking, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. No. You mean the words I'm speaking, it's the Father who is speaking through me. It's not what it says. It says the words that I'm speaking, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. So when I see what the Father is doing, and then I prophetically speak, it's not that I'm hearing the words of my Father, I'm seeing the works of my Father. That maybe went over some of our heads, but I want to I want you to receive the Spirit. The Spirit, Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father doing. The essence of the prophetic is not coming up with something that might possibly happen. Because God is eternal. He lives outside of time. And when God prophetically declares something, and He has over all of our lives, He's in our future now, and He's saying, let me tell you what I've been doing in your life. And when someone prophesies that this, and this, God says this about you, and we go, it can't happen, like most people in the Bible. I'm too young, I can't speak, I stutter, I'm the least of the least. We all try to tell God why He's got it wrong, because we base it on what we presently see. But we got to start to speak on what Father is doing in our future now. He's in our future now, because He's outside of time. And Jesus said, the words that I'm speaking that you're hearing me talk about is what my Father's doing. May that be the essence of our prophetic life. The prophetic releases what God is doing, the work of God, through our words when we see what the Father is doing. So we need to say, Father, You must increase. And I must decrease. You must increase. I must decrease. Would you stand with me? We're going to enter into worship in a moment. This is the time when most people are racing out the door for your pasta or your steak. Meatloaf or whatever it is. But the two assignments was to speak the word. I've done that. I pray you receive it. We're going to pray into that just right now. But then the Lord spoke to me very clearly. I saw it in the spirit, JG. I saw it. I first heard the words long-standing illness. Long-standing physical conditions. And then I saw the word so clear, shift. And the Father says, I want to shift something in the lives. I'm not going to... See, remember when I said the prophetic's got to be pure? I could go in from there. See, my heart's desire is this. And this is what we hear. I feel the emotion of God right now. Hear me. I would like to go into that and say, hey, God's going to heal every person. You're not going to have it anymore. Because that's what I like to say, and that's what we say. But that's not what the Lord said to me. He said to me, long-standing illnesses, I want to shift something in the lives of the people that have it. I believe many people, God's going to touch you in the area of your physical condition in over coming days and weeks. You're going to say something has shifted. Not because I am coming up with something, but Father told me that's what He's doing this morning. So I'm not generating something. I'm just saying this is what Father's about to do. And if you've got faith, then you're about to come to the front. If that's you, we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to lay hands on you and just declare a shift. But Father says, I want to do something in the people who have it. So we're going to stay to the purity of it. But I just want to commend to you out there, because who knows what's about to happen. And we're just going to hang and go with God. Don't come to me for healing. I beg you, don't come to me. But if you have a long-standing illness, a long-standing physical condition, and you believe that Father can shift something, and if He has declared that's what I want to do today, I want to shift something in the lives of the people who have it, and you're saying, God, I want that, then in a moment I'm going to say, come right down to the front. And receive from Father. Just start to worship and receive. Receive. But I want to commend to you, there's a resource table out there.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.